What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? Yeah, like you, I'm still deciding, right? Yeah. How many times when we were kids did we get asked this by our elders? How many times do we ask, you know, our little kids? It's fun to listen to the answers sometimes, you know? Doctor, lawyer, fireman, policeman. When I was a kid, astronaut was a big thing. One of my kids told me he was going to be a pilot, and he was going to have a plane big enough to fit 300 people. It was going to have a swimming pool, and he was going to serve pancakes in flight. I tell you, the airlines are missing out on a niche market. But we spend a good part of our life trying to figure out what we want to be, looking for our calling, looking for where we fit in, what we're going to do. But there's one calling that comes first and foremost above every other calling we have in our lives. As people of faith, we believe that we are called to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we can bring him out into the world, whatever else it is that we do. Now, St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans today, tells us that we who are baptized have died with Christ so that we might live with Christ. He tells us to think of ourselves as dead to sin and alive in Christ. It's a calling that we've reflected in our psalm response today, the one that we sang, "Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord." It's not just this singing. Okay, and it's not the forever that's going to come at the end of time. Forever is now. Forever includes everything we're doing right this minute. So in that forever, our singing is our very lives, proclaiming the goodness of the Lord. First, as our response to the vocation, to the calling to be a Christian. In today's gospel, our Lord uses very, very exaggerated language to make this point. It's kind of a rhetorical device to be really way out there to make people stop and go, huh, wait, what did he say? It's important that we answer that vocation to be a Christian first. Why? Well, our Lord answers that in the second half of the gospel reading today when he says, "Whoever sees you sees me and him who sent me." In other words, we become the field representatives for Jesus. To use a business model, we're God's sales reps. By our lives, by being Christians first, others are enabled to see the Lord and to see the love of God for them in this world. Now, this does involve a dying to self and selfish ways. This is what our Lord means when he says, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." Putting to death the sin in our lives. Now, you know, he died once for all our sins. We may not have the ability to push everything out the way, to die to everything right away, but little by little, day by day, when we take up that cross, we can transform ourselves into what he asks us to be. And we see an example of this in our Old Testament reading, where a simple woman sets aside a simple room so that a prophet can go about spreading the word of God. I know some of you are saying, wait, that's Old Testament. They can't be Christian. Well, one of the cool things about the Old Testament is that the New Testament is revealed within it. And so this is a good example for us to follow, to look and say, is that something that I can do in my life? So in our day-to-day lives, are we Christians first? Christian doctor, Christian lawyer, Christian policeman, Christian fireman, Christian mom, Christian dad, Christian kid, Christian ditch digger, Christian whatever. Saint Teresa of Lisieux likes to say that whatever task we have before us, no matter how small, if we do it for God, then we are aligned with this same concept of being Christian first, doing everything for God. So when others look at us, can they see something in us that points not to the worldly, but to the otherworldly. Perhaps each one of us every morning can add a little prayer when we first wake up. God, today, help me better follow your Son. Just that little prayer. Today, God, help me better follow your Son. When we do this, when we live our vocation as Christians first, there is a transformative power that pervades all of our lives that you just can't ignore. It's going to make people respond in some way or another to you because of it. Granted, sometimes it's a negative response. Some people are just not ready to learn how much God loves them and to see the happiness that living a life acknowledging God's love can deal with. We have to be able to accept that as a little martyrdom. They call a white martyrdom, not shedding our blood necessarily. On the other hand, there will be people who will come to us and they'll be ready. And they'll say, I want what you've got. I want what you have got. And we need to stand ready to testify to them as to how our faith in our Lord permeates our lives. We can take our Lord's example in how to do this. When he comes to us in the Eucharist, what do we see? A little piece of bread. Just an ordinary little piece of bread. But it's not an ordinary piece of bread. It is our Lord. So too, when people look at us and they say, that's an ordinary person, but what is it about him? We're not ordinary people. We are Christians. We are Christians. And when we live as Christians, we bring other people to the Lord. We are Christians. And when we grow up, by that I mean at our final resurrection, we will receive the rewards of eternal life that our Lord promised us in our gospel today. God love you.